Our gospel reading today comes from John 13, verses 31 through 35. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Please be seated. Good morning. My name is Bethany Hammer, and I am the Director of Children's Ministries here at Good Shepherd. And about a year ago, our student ministries and our children's ministries team had the opportunity to go to a conference in Atlanta, and our theme that year was "We Can Do More Together." And I love that about our ministry here at Good Shepherd. Whether you're children's ministries or student ministries or adult ministries, that we don't look at our ministries as separate, but we are a whole. We are a body that can do more together. And over these last couple of weeks, we've been talking about that. When we've looked at different characters in the Bible and said, what is this text, this author trying to communicate to me about who God is and how he does his work in the body? And so today we're going to focus on the story of Abraham. And as we focus on Abraham, there is a lot to this story. And I'm just going to focus on a small part. My prayer is that you would go home today and you would dig into that scripture. In Genesis 12 through 25, we can find the story of Abraham. Specifically today, I want to focus starting on chapter 12. And then so far in our story, we've had creation, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel, and here we are now introduced to Abram, as he is first known. At this point, Abram is 75 years old. And Genesis 12:1 says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. All the families on earth will be blessed through you.'" God is saying to Abram, "I am going to do three things. I promise you three things. The first is land. I will give you a home. The second is through your seed, your family, your offspring, I will make you a large family. And the last is that I will not only bless you, but your family will be a blessing to others." The problem with this, Abram, remember, 75 years old, was childless. Nevertheless, he chose to follow God's promise and God's command to go into this land, leaving his whole family behind and going into this place that he did not know. He did this because of his love for God. Now, 10 years later, still childless, his wife, Sarai, tended to say, "You know, God's taken too long. I'm going to take things in my own hands." Do we ever do that? And so she says, "Here is my maidservant, Hagar. I would like you to go sleep with her so she can become pregnant, and then we will have a large family." And so Abram obeyed his wife. And his wife was then jealous. Sarai, who came up with this great idea, is then jealous of Hagar. And Hagar is just being mistreated, and she's pregnant, and she's not enjoying this lifestyle. And so she decides to leave. And it is there that she is sitting under a tree, and she is weeping, and an angel of the Lord appears to her. And he says, "The Lord has seen your misery." And her response, "You are the one who sees me." God is saying, "I see you. I see your misery. I see how you're being mistreated. I see you. I love you. I'm here for you." And God commands her to go back and live this life with Abram and Sarah. And she has a child, Ishmael. He is born when Abram is 86 years old. Now, 13 years pass by, and Abram thinks, okay, this is my heir. This is how God is going to bless the nations and be a blessing. This is my family. But at the age of 99, God comes to Abram, and he says, I have a plan, just like I always said I did. And Sarai, she is going to have a child, and you are to name him Isaac. And I am going to bless not only your family, but others through your family. So at this point, God makes a covenant with Abram. Now, covenant is not a word that we use in our language today, but it is essential in Bible language. A covenant is like a promise. It's a partnership. God says, I will do this, and in response, here is your obedience to me. Now, we might know a little bit about promises. My son promised that he would do his book report when he got home from school without a reminder. We might break promises, but God does not. God's promises hold true. And so God's three promises of land and seed and blessing to Abram, he says, in response, your obedience to me is circumcision for you and your families at 99 years old. At this point, God says, I'm going to change your name. Names are a big deal. He changes his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of all nations, and Sarai's name to Sarah, which means mother of all nations. And a year later, they have a child, Isaac. Now, when Sarah first heard that she was going to have a child, of course she laughed and said, I have a dead womb. I am old. There is no way. And what does God say? Who do you think I am? I am God. Nothing is too hard for me. And it was true, right? They had this child, Isaac. Now, going back to our question, as we look at the text and we look at the author and what they're trying to tell us and communicate to us, who is God? Who is God in this story? And how does God work? When I was in my freshman year of college, my mom passed away suddenly. And I got flooded with so many cards and emails and instant messenger, because when I was in college, we had instant messenger. So it was great because I just felt so much love. But one card stuck out to me, and I want to read part of it to you today. It says, during times like this, the only thing you can do is rely on God to take care of everything. I just want you to know that my prayers will be with you and your family. Well, that doesn't sound so odd, right? But what caught me off guard was the person who wrote this card, I had known for 8 years, and never once have I heard him talk about God. And so when I came back from college that summer, he invited me out for lunch, and we went out to lunch, and the first thing he said to me was, you didn't know I was religious, did you? And I said, no. But see, that's a problem. Because although our relationship with God is personal, it is not private. Yes, we have this relationship with God vertically, but God doesn't end it there. God says, don't forget the horizontal. Our relationship with God is very personal, but it is not private, and it is not intended to be. One of these does not elevate over the other. This is not more important than this. They are all important. All of it is important. The family of faith is not meant to be inward focused. It's meant to go out, just as God's covenant with Abraham was to go and bless the nations. That's what he calls us to do as well. We have to get out of this view that it's all about me and realize it's about we and what we can do. And I love this song. Well, I don't really enjoy it because here's what it says. This is from a non-believer. His name is Tom Waits. And he says, don't go to church on Sunday. I got my own special way. Well, it's got to be chocolate Jesus. Make me feel good inside. Got to be chocolate Jesus. Keep me satisfied. I think if we're real with each other, we will admit that there are times that we feel like it's all about us. And God is saying, no, it's not. We were not created to be just by ourselves with God. God created us for his purpose, not the other way around. Look at God himself. He is in a relationship, a communal relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all working as one. Three persons as one. It is through Jesus that we see God. It is through Jesus that we receive the Spirit. All work together. If God works in community, who are we to think that we can do it on our own? And so we go to church. Have we ever heard that some people will say, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church? Ryan and I had a leak in our kitchen the other day, and so we have a contractor coming out, because of course this is going to be a whole string of redoing different things in our house, and he said he can tell that we were religious, because we've got sayings, verses, and crosses all over our wall, and he said, I can tell you religious people, you won't see me at church on Sunday. I'm at the rice tracks. Okay? So let's define church. What is church? Because we have this view that church is a building. But when we look back at the scriptures, and when Paul in the New Testament was writing to the churches, the community of churches, the word he used is ecclesia. And what that means is an assembly of God's people. They did not go to church. They were the church. We are the church. G.B. Gard says it this way: each local church is a colony of heaven charged with responsibility of bringing the world to acknowledge the sovereignty of Christ. Sometimes we act like church is a spectator sport. It's not. We are a temple of the living God that lives and dwells within us through his Spirit, to go and do his work, to have a personal, vertical relationship that goes out into the world to be a blessing to others. In our reading today in John, Jesus says, I will be with you only a little while longer. And he commands. He does not make it optional. He commands you go out and you love each other so that others may know me and they may love. This is not a choice. It's a command by Jesus. You don't think that Jesus could have done his ministry on his own? But he chose 12. And do you know why we're sitting in here today? Because he chose 12 and they obeyed his command to go out and to share the good news of Jesus, who then went out and shared the good news of Jesus, who then went out and shared the good news of Jesus. And what are we called to do? Go out and share the good news of Jesus. We are the church, not a building. We are a church. And the body is one. Sometimes I think we stop at Jesus and we say, yep, I'm saved. I know what I'm saved from. But do you know what you're saved for? Because after Jesus, he sent the Spirit that lives in each and every one of us. Do we allow the Spirit to use us? Are we a living sacrifice to God? Or are we a spectator that are more concerned with the vertical and stop at the horizontal? The body has many parts. We heard that in our 1 Corinthians reading today. And when Paul was writing to the church in 1 Corinthians, he said, you need to look in the mirror and you should see Jesus. How many times have I looked in the mirror and I see myself? I fail miserably. And it's when I look at others and see Jesus that I'm brought back into the body and remember who I am and whose I am and what I am called to do. I need the body. I can't do this by myself. I can't have a limp arm because that affects the whole body. The whole body. When we mistreat someone, That's God's body. You're mistreating someone else. When we choose not to forgive someone, you're choosing not to forgive someone that Jesus himself came to die to forgive. We are the body that can do more together. So let me share this story with you. As I said earlier, am in Club 45, which is our children's ministry for our fourth and fifth graders. And I had been teaching for a couple of years in the ministry, the large group, and I took a couple of years off, and I had some leaders that were willing and able to lead. And a couple years passed by that, and this leader removed himself from that leadership position, and I had somebody come up to me and said, I really think you should do it again. And I thought, okay, because it takes a lot. It takes a lot to prep and get ready and do that. But, you know, there was something different this time around. As I was preparing the lessons, I was hungry for more. As I was reading the scriptures, I wanted to understand better the context in which they came from. I wasn't satisfied with just reading through somebody else's words and teaching it. I wanted to understand it for myself. And I didn't quite know what that meant for me. Fast forward a couple months later, and I was in here with our fourth graders and their parents, and we're talking First Communion to fourth graders. And I walk out, because we're going out to breakouts after our teaching time in here, and a parent comes up to me and says, when are you going to go be a pastor? And I was like, okay. God's stirring something in me. But because I'm human, and I'm like, yeah, no. That, like, no. I have three kids. I have a husband. I have a full-time job. Nope. He kept at me. So Dawn Paulgini, who works here and who speaks sometimes, she went to seminary. And so I just, you know, I thought, okay, I'll sit down with her and have a conversation. And I said, Dawn, how did you know that this is what you were supposed to do? And she said, God speaks to us through his people. He speaks to us through his word and through his people and through our time together with him vertically. So just listen. And then yet a couple months later, my husband and kids and I were in California going to Disneyland, of course, because if you don't know my family, we're very Disney-oriented because of my husband, and we all love it. So we were at Disneyland. And Tara Beth Leach, who's a good friend of ours who also used to work here, we're all sitting together, and I hear her talking to my husband, Ryan, and she's talking about seminary, and she's like, I think everyone should go. Okay, God, I get it. I hear you. God uses his body to speak to us, to tell us where we should go, what direction we should go in. And I'm in seminary a year later. I've got three more years, but I'm still in it. And, you know, one of my favorite moments is when I was sitting in my dining room, and I'm typing up a paper that was due probably at midnight that night, and I was going right to the last minute, and my son, 9-year-old, procrastinated about going to bed. I don't know if you have any of those, but I do. So he comes downstairs, and he says, Mom, are you glad that you did this? Seeing how hard it is? And I said, buddy, I am. Because sometimes God calls you to do things, and you listen, and it might mean it's hard, but you do it because God told you to, and so you follow it. And I've had people ask me, so what do you want to do after you're done with seminary? And I'm like, well, I don't know. If I'm still here in 20 years in children's ministries, hallelujah. I just want to be obedient to God's calling. And however he will use that is up to him, not me. Because we have to get out of the me and focus on the we. So how do we do this? I had a friend of mine say, after she heard this speaker talk about, oh, what God has done in his life and how amazing it was, and she said, why won't God do that with me? And I said, did you ask him? Because I think sometimes we don't ask him and we just expect, why isn't he doing that with me? Ask him. And so a couple weeks ago in my class, my professor, Cherith Nordling, you have to know her. The spirit just exudes from her. She's amazing. She's in her 60s, and you leave her class, and you feel like an out-of-body experience. I can do anything. She's just that inspiring. And she got up one day and she stood on the chair. And yeah, I'm standing on the chair. And she said, "Let the Spirit go and do his work through you." And this week, I want each of you to wake up and say, "Lord, use your Spirit to help me be sensitive to what is going on in the community around me, and use me as you will use me." And then she said, "And then we're going to come back next week and we're all going to share about how the Spirit used you." Because she knew that if you asked, God's going to do it. And so, of course, it was about 4 or 5 days before I prayed this prayer. And I woke up that morning and I'm laying in bed. And I will admit, the first thing I usually do is check my Facebook page. But I left my phone down and I prayed, "God, help me be sensitive to your Spirit, to the needs of the community around us. God, use me today. Take me and put me out of the way. I want to be used by you." And then I went on with my day, because as I mentioned before, I have 3 kids and I'm working, and so you just get in your day. And partway through my day, I thought, gosh, it's so beautiful outside. I want to go outside. I've got so much reading to do for school, so I'll just go sit in my car and just read for a little while. And so I went down the street, and I parked in a parking lot of the Forest Preserve. I don't even know what that's called right down the street, but I parked over there, and I see this couple. I'm there for about a half hour. I see this couple walking by, and I look up, and I think, oh, that looks like Sylvia and Greg. Didn't really think much of it. Until their car was parked next to mine. And they get in their car. And I'll admit, sometimes I see people and I'm like, oh, I've got things I've got to do. I've got reading I've got to do, so I'm not going to, hopefully they don't see me and I don't see them and we're all good. But I felt the Spirit say, no, call out to her. And so I did. I said, "Sylvia." She didn't hear me. I thought, okay, I'm done. "Sylvia." So she gets out of her car, and her husband, he gets out of his car. Their son is sick. And so I had this opportunity to just sit there and talk to them and say, "Tell me what's going on. How can I pray for you?" You know how many times we say, "I'm going to pray for you," but do we pray for them? So in that moment, I said, "Can I pray for you?" And the 3 of us in the parking lot stood there, and we prayed. And I will tell you that the words that were coming out of my mouth were not of me. And I even got choked up. And I don't cry. But it was so powerful. And I got in my car, and I said to my husband, "I can't believe this just happened." And I called him, and I told him everything. And he's like, "Wow." Now, I don't know if that made a difference to them in that moment, because I know they're being flooded with so much prayer and love. But I know, I said, even if it was just for me, for God to say to me, "I am going to use you. I'm going to use you for the we." And she was sitting in the 8 o'clock service today. And I had not shared that story with her about my day beforehand. She came up to me after service and she said, "That moment is written in our book. Because we have a book of all the ways that God is showing up through the sickness. Are we willing to be the church? Because the body works together. Together, we can do more." And we look at that Sarah's example when she laughed at God and said, "My womb is dead." And what did God say? "You think anything is too hard for me? Try me." And life is birthed from a dead womb. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy at all. My husband and I were both teachers. And we had a pension plan, maybe. And we both left the teaching field at different times to work here full time in the church because God told us to. It doesn't always make sense, and people around you may say, "What are you doing? You're tenured." God told me to. I don't know why, but I'm going to follow. Are you going to follow? Are you going to ask him? Are we going to be the body of Christ together to do his work? Let me share with you two statistics. After age 15, 3 of 5 young Christians disconnect from church life, either permanently or for an extended period of time. More than 2 in 5 American young adults with a Christian background believe they are going to church, believe that going to church and having Christian friends are optional. No, it's not. Read the scriptures. We have 460 kids that came here for VBS last year. 460. And I can't tell you how many volunteers it takes to run that. Because without it, we can't teach these kids about God's love. God says, why would I give you more if you can't handle what you already have? He has given us 460 kids. And I'll tell you, personally, because I know this, our neighbor came, never been to church before, came for VBS. You know how many kids come for VBS? You know how many parents say, ooh, childcare, 5 days, super cheap. And I say, yeah, bring them. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. That might be the first time they hear about it. We are the body. Whether you have a child in VBS or in any of the ministries, we are the body, we are a family, and we are called, we are commanded to teach the good news of Jesus. So that this statistic is not a reality. Let's change it together to be the body and do that together. And I think sometimes we get into this trap of, well, God can't use me, I'm too sinful. So am I. That's why God came. That's why Jesus came into the sin. God came in the flesh into the sin to be with us, to be in relationship with us, to say, I am bigger than the sin, and I can use it. Like Hagar, I see your misery. I see you. I'm going to use you. And he made a great nation out of Ishmael. God can use you. You just have to ask him. We can do more together. Are you willing to be the body together? Because this box, 18 years later, is filled with the cards that I received when my mom died. And I still look back at them. Because we're the body. And when one part of the body is going through trauma, the body surrounds that person and shows them Jesus. Because there are times it's hard. God never promised this life would be easy, but he promised that he would be here with us. Are we willing to be the body, to do more together? Will you pray with me? God, you are so good that you take us and our sinfulness and you say, I want to partner with you. I love you. You are my child. Whether you're 2 or 10 or 60 or 99, you are my child. And my spirit dwells within your body to go out and to do my work so that others may know too, not just what they're saved from, but what we're saved for, to go and do your work, to be a body together. God, we are unworthy, but you look at us and you say, no, you are worthy. Allow us to come to you, no matter what the cost, and be a blessing. Because the covenant that you made with Abraham, Lord, you make with each of us. Go out and be a blessing to others. God, we give you glory and praise and thankfulness. It's in your name. Amen.